All right, good morning, Cornerstone. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers there out there, and to each one of us who has our father, we thank them, even if they're not here, that they're in our hearts and that they're, we're very grateful for all of our fathers who have raised us from when we were little to, and taught us the ways of the world and took care of our families. And even if not, if we don't know them very well, we know that our Heavenly Father does the same for us, who watches over us and who cares for us, and provides all things for us. Let's take a moment now and just commit ourselves to prayer, commit ourselves to worship this morning, that we might worship our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. Let's bow our heads now in silent prayer. God in heaven, we call you Father because you are our Heavenly Father. You care for us even before time began. You loved us when we were unlovable. You provide us a solid foundation from which we can live our lives, glorifying you in the process. God, you have redeemed us. You have chased after us. All the things that we would want in our earthly fathers, God, you have fulfilled, and you are the complete image of that. Lord, we praise you this morning. We are here to worship you. We are here to give you glory, honor, and praise. Lord, we want to sing how great you are, how fair you are, the ruler of all, and how you sent your Son to die on the cross for us. And we admit that every day there are things that we do and things that we think that we aren't, that are not glorifying to you. We ask that you forgive us of those things so that we may worship you now, unburdened and unhindered by those things. Grant us your spirit now to hear your word. Grant us your spirit to sing with our voices what is truly in our hearts and our minds. Amen. Let's stand and sing. Great is the Lord Almighty. Great is the Lord on high. Great is the Lord God Almighty. Great is the Lord on high. The train of his robe fills the temple, and we cry. Risen King. Glory to the risen King. Glory to the Son. Glorious Son. Lift up your hands, open the doors, let the King of glory come in. And forever be our God. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy is the Lord. Glorious.
your hands, open the doors, let the King of Glory come in, and forever be our God. Lift up your hands, open the doors, let the King of Glory come in.
Sing, Fairest Lord Jesus, rule over all nature. O thou of God and man, the Son.
Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature. O thou of God and man, the Son. Cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown.
Fair are the meadows.
Jesus is fairer, Jesus is purer, who makes the woeful heart to sing.
You are fairer still.
You are fairer still today. You are fairer still today. Precious Jesus, Lord, you are adored. As we worship, you are fairer still today. You are fairer still today. Precious Jesus, Lord, you are adored. As we worship,
fair is the sunshine.
Fair is the sunshine. Fair still the moonlight. And all the twinkling starry host. Jesus shines bright. Shines purer than all the angels heaven can boast.
You are fair.
You are fairer still today. You are fairer still today. Precious Jesus, Lord, you are adored as we worship. You are fairer still today. You are fairer still today. Jesus, Lord, you are adored. As we worship,
beautiful Savior,
beautiful Savior, Lord of the nations, Son of God and Son of Man.
Glory and honor. The song we're going to sing is about our Lord God, His Father, who redeemed us, who saved us. Let's sing that with joy.
What mercy was revealed, what selflessness and peace, my fate was surely sealed. Until He rescued me, His pardon for my sin, His bounty for my need, from slavery and shame I am redeemed. And heaven can't contain the glory of the Son. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. His love has made a way, the grave is overcome. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one.
No fear can hold me down.
No darkness steal my joy. For blood has been poured out, the enemy destroyed. Death could not hold him down. The cross was not enough. Steal away His throne, for He is God. And heaven can't contain the glory of the Son. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. His love has made a way, the grave is overcome. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. And anyone who calls upon His name, they will be saved. They will be saved. And anyone who calls upon His name, they will be saved. They will be saved. And heaven can't contain the glory of the Son. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. His love has made a way, the grave is overcome. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. And heaven can't contain the glory of the Son. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. His love has made a way, the grave is overcome. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one.
Our last song before the message this morning is about the love of God. How much God loved us that He sent His Son, that He would be that He would give His only Son for us as a sacrifice to cover our sins. Us as parents and up as fathers, If you have children, you know that that's not a small thing. So let's sing together. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. There's nothing that we can write more about. There's nothing that we can talk more about than the love of God to those who don't know him, that they might come to know him. Let's sing together. The love of God. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we within the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every star on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, so measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Let's sing the first verse again, the love of God. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave his son to win. The erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Amen. Before we have a seat, if you say good morning to a neighbor, greet them hello, and if they're a father, be certain to say a good hearty happy Father's Day to them. Probably Robert or Stephen.
Good morning. Good morning, kids. Happy Father's Day. Good morning, kids. Well, we know that every day is Children's Day, but we celebrate Father's Day just once a year. And let's all give thanks for our fathers. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we call you Daddy, Abba Father, because you are the model for our earthly fathers. And we understand what we, our fathers are by you. And on the other hand, we understand who you are by our fathers. So we give thanks for our fathers this day. And we pray for our fathers that they might be good fathers, like the Heavenly Father. We pray, Lord, that you keep us this day, keep our minds focused on you, and we give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, before we start, instead of welcoming visitors, I want to welcome a visitor now. This is Carrie's dad from Mississippi. Let's welcome him today. It's just so good to see him. This is the apple from, no, this is the tree from which the apple fell. So if there's a good guy there, that's the tree. So it's a good Father's Day treat for us to see him here today. If you look at your insert, there's this very long sheet, okay? It's all full of verses and stuff, all right? So who knows what I'm going to be able to say today. But what I want you to do is to take this home this week, all of you, moms or dads or even kids that are here today, and just go through these verses and maybe meditate on them. Now, I know my friend William, he tries to look up the verses before service starts. That's really a good thing because he's ready to go. But I think I swamped you today with all the verses that are here. So most of them will be flashed on the screen. But the thing is, this is something to just kind of think through. So take this home today and spend this week, look up a few of the verses. It's not just for dads, it's for all of us. And let God's word speak to you about the nature of God's love. So you can see on the very, almost next to the last one, don't be a lying hypocrite or remain immature, okay? So figure out what that verse is when you get to it. So in my own Christian life, at this age, having been around so long, it boils down to three things for me. Okay, joy, suffering, and love. Okay, I know the Bible is more and the Christian life is about more than that, but joy, suffering, and love. For some reason, at this stage of my life, that's all I focus on. So originally, when Pastor Green said, would you cover for Father's Day? I said, okay, I'm going to do suffering. Because, well, you know, being a dad, being a husband, it's tough. There's suffering involved. You know, what's it all about? Our work life, our marital life, our child-raising life, our church life, our work life. Right? It's all tough. So how do men endure this kind of thing? But I said, nah. There's something else I want to talk about today, the nature of love. This is something that has been very important to me because it's been part of a learning process, you know. I come to this stage of my life and I say, what's the most important thing? If I were to be characterized in some character trait, some aspect, would I want to be remembered because of my long suffering? Would I want to be remembered because who knows what, okay? My own choice right now, what I really want above all things is remembered for love. Okay, but what kind of love? What do we learn about love? Okay, you'll see in the verses to come that love is normative in a Christian life. It's normative. It's the standard that we're supposed to bear with us at all times. Love, it's normative. It should be characteristic of every Christian, regardless of age or gender. It's based upon the character of God. It's knowable because God has chosen to love us. It's knowable because God has given us examples in His scripture. As disciples, we're required to express love in our life. It's a requirement. We're able to do this. Why? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. We can do it. We can show the love of God in our life because God empowers us and demands that we do it. And we show this love because it's good for us and it's good for the world. It's part of who we are supposed to be. The love of God binds us together, and the love of God in us shows the world who God is. Okay? It's a big deal. Now, non-Christians in this world, we know that they can love, right? We see it. We all have access to it because we're all made in the image of God. And so even those that don't know God directly, there's something innate in all of us, innate, whether we're believers or not, to have this impulse, this characteristic. Even the worst thief in the world, the worst murderer, the worst person, somewhere in his experience or her experience, understands what love is and expresses it. But like all things in the world, God's love is perverted. Perverted. There's an old word for perversion or definition that says turned around or looking backwards, looking at it the wrong way. So worldly love becomes a perversion of God's love. Instead of seeing God as a standard for love, we look at biology. We look at human desires, our psychology. We look at our culture, and that's how we learn about love. We learn to love from our hormones, from our experiences. So husbands beat their wives. Wives curse their husbands. Priests and teachers abuse children. We celebrate and envy shameless fornicators in our culture. Preteen girls go to the drugstore and get morning after pills. Teens send photos of themselves inappropriately over cell phones to students. Defining love in human terms has not led to fairy tale romance, but to unfaithfulness, divorce, restraining orders, universal access to pornography, and the argument that homosexual marriage is a natural right. The Bible tells us that love is defined by God. Just to do the visual thing, this is the way the world thinks of love. Hot, burning love, right? Emotions, feelings. I need you. I miss you. Therefore, I love you. A lot of eyes in that little thing. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. Love isn't a biological or a cultural artifact. It's a characteristic that is universal. It's eternal. It's based on the character of God. All mankind recognizes love and expresses it imperfectly because all of us are created in the image of God. But in us, God's love is made complete. That's a privilege we have. In us, we have the capacity to finish it, to do it right, to show the world what God is really like. And so here's a characteristic. God's love is steadfast. There's two translations here, and I'm going to read for you both of them. One is the NIV and one is the English Standard. Who is a God like you who pardons sins and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. Who is a God like you pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. And in some ways, that last one is the better translation, steadfast. What's steadfast? Huh? Steadfast endures. Steadfast doesn't give up. Steadfast is relentless. And God's love is steadfast, relentless. Okay, why is that important? It's because God's love isn't worn down by us. God's love isn't dissipated by boredom. God's love perseveres in good times and also in bad. It perseveres. It's steadfast. Can you think of the example in the Bible that God gave of God's steadfast love? Who's the biblical example? Go back and read it sometime this week. It's a horrible story. It's terrible. It's a prophet. Who is it? Hosea. Hosea. If you read Hosea, it'll break your heart and it'll make you cringe. Because here was a man, a prophet, that was called by God to be an example of his steadfast love. And so what is it? You know, it's a gender story, but it's not about it. Okay? It would be terrible to be called to be a Hosea. He suffered. He had heartbreak. Those of you that have had heartbreak know that heartbreak can be worse than a heart attack. It kills you. Your body isn't in pain. Your whole body is in pain in a difficult kind of a way. And so he was chosen by God to be an example of steadfast love. He married a woman he wanted. God sent her to him, sent him to her. And this was someone that God said, this is the woman you will have. This is the woman that you will cherish. By her very nature, whatever the cause, she persisted in running away. She ran away from the man who loved her. And you can't get away from this, to prostitute herself with other men. She degraded herself purposefully. And in her willful, spiteful degradation, Hosea searched for her repeatedly to bring her back. At her lowest point, to bring her back, to provide her with mercy, with gentleness, and protection. That woman is us. Hosea is God. And this is the love that God has. It's not based upon our loveliness. It's persistent. I've known men and women who've lived the life of Hosea. It's not about adultery. Financial irresponsibility, emotional abuse, illness, difficult children, mean-spirited in-laws, bad jobs, some inexplicable craziness in the world that enters and breaks down your relationships. I know heroic men and women who found resources to endure and remain steadfast in love like Hosea. They continue to find a way to cherish their partners, to love, to seek ways to help, to seek ways to preserve, to remain faithful, to keep their promises. How do we love our children? Do we abandon them because of disrespect or drug addiction or disease or bad choices? Does our love disappear? What about friendships? We love the friend like a brother or a sister. Words are said. Things are left undone. Distances are created. Does love disappear? Parents grow old and weak, troublesome and cranky. Does love disappear? God's love is steadfast. It remains even when the road gets hard. Now, I'm not naive. I've been around the block. I've been a lawyer. You don't have to explain physical and emotional exhaustion to me. So I know what it's like. It's tough. And I've never found a commandment that caused me to advise people in dangerous or abusive relationships to stay without exercising a lot of wisdom. God does not tolerate sin, but God's love for us is steadfast. God suffers insult, hurt, humiliation, disrespect, rejection, even from us, but his steadfast love remains focused on its object, us. God's love for us is unwavering in the face of humiliation and insult. This is God's love, and this is the way we're called to love one another. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are not willing. God seeks to protect and preserve. Jesus used the hen and chicken to describe God's love, his desire to gather his children under his wing. Love sees the gathering storms, and love responds with protection and safety. God seeks to rescue and has no desire to see us walk away into destruction. He creates a way to safety. He intervenes. He sends prophets to warn. He sends his son. The characteristics of protection and rescue aren't abstract to God. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to put you under my wing. God is personal. God is emotional. God is passionate. He longs, a visceral desire, gut-wrenching, to protect. Nor is the object of God's longing abstract. God doesn't say he longs to save an institution. He longs to save his children. It's like the teacher in Oklahoma who pushed her kindergartners into a washroom when the tornado came and covered them with her body to protect them. And God says, that's the way my people are to love. That's who we are supposed to be. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, God died for us. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. For those of us who know Jesus, this doesn't need an explanation, does it? Because of love, Jesus laid down his life for people who were as ugly as you. Who were you? Who are you? Rebellious, without respect, liars and thieves, murderers and adulterers, complainers and cowards, without strength or wisdom. Jesus died for us. Not because we're good, but because this is what love does for those who are loved. God doesn't require us to earn his love. God's love is offered to us despite who we are. God's love isn't conditional upon our likability. It's given despite our unlikability. Jesus' disciples love the unlikable and the unlovely. That's us. We're called to love the unlikable, the unlovely. It's not natural to us, but God says, this is what my children are to do. This is what my church is to do. This isn't Tito, but it reminds me of Tito. Do you remember in the early days when Tito was a church, cute as a button, you know, like a lot of the babies are still here, but I remember Tito in a special way. You'd pick him up, and you'd hold him in your arms, and you'd love him. The spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. And Jesus took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Fathers and mothers are a special category. Being a father is not primarily a biological condition, is my argument. It's not a legal status. It's a relationship. Paul and the other apostles don't spell out the details of this relationship. We're just expected to get it. This is an imperfect world with imperfect dads. But somewhere deep within us, even those who are confused by imperfect dads or absent dads still know what we should be as dads. Even if our brokenness makes it hard for us to be good dads, we're made in the image of God. And so in us is this instinct for fatherhood and for motherhood as well. Abba, Father, is one who is present, who sacrifices for us, who provides, who teaches, who disciplines, who shelters us in his arms, whose presence gives us comfort, peace, and joy, who encourages us, who recognizes our value, who has hopes for us, who sets a pathway for us into the future, who rejoices in our victories and weeps for our pains. I learned this from my dad. When I screwed up, he suffered. When I did well, he rejoiced. When I was confused, he counseled me. When I was afraid, he was my rock. This is God. This is the love of God. God calls us to be this way, men or women, to reflect his image, to be like God. Followers of Jesus, both men and women, young and old, are to love one another and our neighbors like God loves us. We're to build one another up. We're supposed to encourage each other and protect, like the Father's love builds us up and encourages and protects. The love of God is Jesus wanting the children to come to him and is as personal and intimate as Jesus folding the children into his arms. It's like the hen sheltering her chicks. It's a nurturing parent. It's steadfast. It's unrelenting. It's unconditional. It's Jesus on the cross. Forget all the hokey stuff that defines love for us. It's not sex. It's not the clique or the gang we're in. It's not chemistry. It's not genetics. All those definitions just confuse us about what God's love is. Love is defined by God. Therefore, be imitators of God as we love children. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Having experienced the love of God, we are to imitate God. Imitate doesn't mean fake it. Imitate means to strive to be like it, to be the image of it. This is a world where we give excuses for our lack of love. We've heard about, oh, it's families of origin. Oh, it's emotional baggage that we carry. Oh, it's the wrong influences that made them the way they are. It's the wrong side of the tracks. Oh, he's just off the boat and he doesn't get it. He's dumb as a rock. Okay? These are the excuses we give. All these labels may have some truth in them, but there is no excuse for believers because we've experienced the very God that loves us and saves us. We can love as God loves because he says, my spirit in you gives you the power to be like me. If you read Peter or John or Paul, all throughout their epistles, there's this demand, love one another. We have the motto of God. We have the motto of Jesus. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit. John says, if you don't know how to love like God loves, then you don't know God. What does that mean? If I were to look at you and say, this person, he doesn't get it. There's something missing in your spirituality. You don't know God, or you don't get it yet. But there's no excuse for you, especially today, especially if I give you that sheet and you look at it this week. We need to work on this. We need to think on this. We need to understand the power of the Holy Spirit to make you what you're supposed to be. We need to practice it. We need to love the unlovable. We need to see how God's love transformed us and transforms us. We need to learn that we can express God's love in the face of insult and rejection. It's about being in the image of God. Okay? So I'm going to leave a blank, but you put your own name in. You are called to be in the image of God. Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all wrongs. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Now, in all my years of being in church, there's one thing that breaks my heart now more than anything else. More than anything else. All these passages we've looked at were aimed at believers. Believers. So Paul and Peter and John were telling Christians, come on, guys, don't you get it? You have to love one another. Practice it. Do it. They're not telling the church to love the world. They're telling the church to love one another. These are lessons that were aimed at the body of Christ, at the community of believers. You're a liar, or your faith is worthless if you cannot love a brother or a sister the way God loves you. Okay? You're a liar, or your faith is lacking something if you cannot love a brother or sister as God loves you. If you're not a liar, but you don't express the love of God in your life, especially to one another, then something is incomplete. Something is missing in your knowledge of the character of who God is. Not knowing the character of the God who saved you and laid down his life for you. The Bible tells us, loving one another as God loves us brings peace. Don't be a lying hypocrite. Don't remain immature. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. That's Mother Teresa. I think you know that picture. I did a Google search for images of Mother Teresa, and I never saw one where she didn't look exhausted. I mean, just plain exhausted. But, you know, I spent 40 minutes or 30 minutes or so saying we ought to imitate God and be like Jesus. We have to recognize that we do have baggage. We do have tough upbringings. We are dumb. We are insensitive. We hurt one another, even insult one another without intending to. I've done this. Just by my yapping mouth, I'll say something that I think is totally innocent, and someone will get mad. The apostles had to encourage the first Christians to love one another. This implies that sometimes they didn't. The Mother Teresa's of this world are considered saints. You know why? Because they're rare. There aren't too many of them. Most of us turn our faces away. Most of us just walk away. But our weakness doesn't mean that we are excused. What's your response when I'm insensitive to you and dumb? Will you still love me? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So it's a big deal. It's the characteristic of the church. This is how the world knows that we're the real thing. The way we love one another and the way we love others. And it's a good thing for fathers to know. Because we learn most of all, as men, even as daughters, the love that fathers and mothers and one another give. You know, all of us that are men here, we're fathers to many children, whether we're married or not. Not because they're illegitimate or because everyone around us, these little kids that we see in the morning, we love them. We see them and we pick them up. They're my children. This is God's love and has supplied even beyond them to others around us. Be good dads. Be good mothers. Be good disciples. Be a good church. Live in the image of God. Love like that. You can do it. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray for myself and for all my brothers and sisters here. I know better than anyone here, I think, how easy it is to say things and how hard it is to do. How hard it is to forgive. How hard it is to love the unlikable. How hard it is to be sacrificial. How hard it is not to be tired and exhausted and want to turn around and not take the burden that love brings to us. But so it is, you've called us to be this kind of men and women. You've called us to be like you. And there is you. You're our model. And we pray, Lord, to be models as well, as a church that the world may see that you are here and you are real. Have mercy on us and bless us, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
At this time, we'd also like to ask the ushers to come forward, and we're going to continue our time of worship with the collection of our offering. Let's spend a moment praying to the Lord to take this offering that we give, that it is not just an act of out of our own pocketbooks, but is an act of faith. That there are many in this world that need his love. And as a missions-focused church, as being part of the CMNA, that we are supporting our missionaries, that we are supporting the field workers. Let's pray together. Lord, we just heard in the message that by our love, all men will know that we are your disciples. Lord, but also by we give what we give of our of the harvest that you have given us is very indicative of where our hearts are. Lord, we pray that you would give us faith, help us trust you that we might be able to give more and more and become richer in the process. As we grow your family, as we spread your glory in this earth. In your Son's holy name we pray, amen. Our song of response is By Our Love. We've sung it before. But I thought it very appropriate for the theme of the message this morning. Christ said that by our love all men will know that we are his disciples, that we know who God is. And in that way we actually spread a little bit of God's kingdom on this earth as well. So let us encourage one another as brothers, sisters, and even children together. Thank you. brothers. Brothers, let us come together, walking in the Spirit. There's much to be done. We will come reaching out from our comforts, and they will know us by our love. Sisters, we were made for kindness. We can pierce the darkness as He shines through us. We will come reaching with a song of healing, and they will know us by our love. The time is now. Come, church, arise. Love with His hands. See with His eyes. Bind it around you, let it never leave you. And they will know us by our love. Children, you are hope.
Children, you are hope for justice. Stand firm in the truth now. Set your hearts above. You will be reaching long after we're gone. And they will know you by your love. The time is now. Come, church, arise. Love with hands, see with His eyes, bind it around you, let it never leave you, and they will know us by our love.
Let's sing the time, let's stand.
The time is now, come church, arise, love with His hands. See with His eyes, bind it around you, let it never leave you. And they will know us by our love.
Bind
it around you, let it never leave you. And they will know us by our love.
You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. The light of the Father shines upon us, and we, as Christ followers, enjoy the light of His presence. For many, the world is a place of pain and despair, but Jesus illuminates the dark areas of our lives, and His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Through Him, we go and make disciples of all nations, pointing lost people to the One who gives eternal life. Alliance people worldwide are answering this great commission. In His name, we are caring for AIDS victims and refugees displaced by war. With His strength, we are helping rebuild lives devastated by natural disaster and providing vocational training to those who would otherwise end up in human trafficking. By His power, we are reaching out to our lost and hurting neighbors as they navigate the storms of life. All in the name of the One who turns our darkness into light.
He turned my darkness into light.
Tuhan Allahku menyinari kegelapanku.
Yesu Kristus,
Your gift to the Great Commission Sunday offering will help enlighten the lives of lost, suffering, and displaced people with the light of Jesus Christ, the only one who can turn their darkness into light. Give joyfully. Give generously. Give light.
Okay, I asked Eric to put the slide on first because that's part of what we'll pray together as a congregational prayer. And you know, Pastor Green, of course, and Michelle are at a denominational meeting this week, and so that's why he's not here this Sunday. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, we thank you for the blessing of the body of Christ. Lord, it is in each other that we find hope and love and promise and encouragement and richness. You give our life meaning. You make us fruitful in ways that have eternal values. Lord God, we are a suffering people as well, and you know this better than we do. We are challenged in every way, from illness to finances to relationships to there's so many things that Satan sends our way to oppress us and to be a trial. But you are the God that makes us strong and lifts us up. And so we do pray, Lord, for your healing hand over all of us, your protecting hand over all of us. But we pray, Lord, that your mercy would flow throughout this world. Lord, we know that we are a mission church called to do mission, meaning that we're to look beyond our walls, but Lord, to see those who are lost without you, that those who, even if they cannot find their way to you, still need mercy and need our love. And so help us, Lord, be such a people and to be such a church. Lord, let us stand out as a light in the South Loop, in our home, in our workplace, in our community, that the world may know that you are here and you live in us. Help us to be genuine. Help us to be real. Help us to be the men and women that you've called us to be. We pray this together, Lord, in your son's name, amen. So they had a very good time at the pottery thing last week. And to look at your bulletin, there's a whole list of summer activities. There's a picnic coming up. There's the missions Sunday on the 23rd, where we make a special collection for CMA missions. There's starting Thursday will be the summer women's ministry starting this Thursday. It's on the bulletin. So check it out, and then prepare to have a fun summer. It's going to be actually very exhausting. But especially the women, if you can, do that Thursday night thing. There's always a lot of laughs. There's always a lot of fellowship. Call sisters that we haven't seen for a while and invite them to participate. Okay, let's rise for a benediction. Oh. Everyone sit down. Okay, everyone that's a dad, raise your hand. Okay, there's a goodies table in the back. We're not going to pass them out like we do to their moms. You have to go back and get your own. There's a DVD, there's tools. You can put your hand up. I know you're a multiple dad. So on your way out, just go to the table and select the Father's Day gift. And that's sort of a little, there's tools. We love tools, so it's good. Okay, let's stand up for the benediction. Father, Lord, we send each other off as brothers and sisters, bound by the Spirit that you have put in each one of us. Lord, send us out to do good. Send us out to be brave. Send us out to be faithful. Send us out to be a blessing. We pray this together. Amen. Okay, so refreshments next door. Gifts for dads there.